Yo, what's happening, everybody? My name is Anthony Correnti, and thank you, as always, for checking out another episode of The Dynasty Drive. Episode 97 of The Dynasty Drive, creeping up on 100 episodes, so I appreciate all the support. If you're not already, you can follow me on Twitter, at Dynasty Drive. You can follow the show on Instagram, at The Dynasty Drive, and you can like the show on Facebook as well. Have a very interesting episode on today's show. I was joined by Ken Flott. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ken Flott, K-E-N-F-L-O-T-T. Talked about a lot of different things, but focused on an article that he's working on that focuses on what he called the learning and earning aspect of fantasy football. He spent 14 years working in the educational technology space and learned a bit how to apply those same kind of principles to different folks, both on the playing fantasy side as well as the people producing fantasy content side as well. So a really interesting conversation. Make sure to drop Ken a follow. Check the article out when it comes out. Again, he's at Ken Flott on Twitter. And let's get right into it. Learning and earning with Ken Flott. All right. Joining me on today's episode of the podcast is Ken Flott. He's on Twitter at Ken Flott, F-L-O-T-T. Ken, I appreciate you taking some time to hop on and break down some stuff you've learned over your time playing fantasy football and how we can kind of help some other people win their leagues and win some games.
Well, Anthony, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you today, you know, walk on the tightrope of giving this unknown a chance to just yammer on about stuff that people may or may not care about. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, man, that's what it's all about. I'm surprised every time I record one of these that anybody listens to it, honestly. Like, it's not lost on me any particular week at any given time. So happy to help. Is there anywhere currently, like you're on Twitter, but is there anywhere people can find anything that you're doing content wise for fantasy, or are we just gearing up for it yet?
Yeah. So soon, not now, but the article that I spoke about with you previous to this is I go back and constantly edit it, but it'll be at Fantasy Football for the People. Right. So hang on for a second. I'll make sure it's FTP. 3FTP is where it's at and or will be at. And I'm considering, you know, putting it up as episodic. So, you know, part one, part two, part three, because it can might get a little long for stuff. But so there. So at triple FTP and or if you want to go to the website, Fantasy Football for the People, definitely give it a. Give it a look and give them a follow. You know, just kind of reached out to him. He's like, "Yep, would love to have you." And also, we'll see what happens from that.
Cool deal, man. Yeah, we'll make sure to retweet it and get all that stuff out there once it's up. So we kind of wanted to talk through the stuff that you're writing on, and kind of drawing some corollaries between your previous experiences and how to apply that in a way to kind of provide measurable success for people that are also playing fantasy football. So why don't you take us through kind of what your thought process was, what the topic is kind of at large, and you know, how you kind of arrived at writing this article.
Cool. So the article and the thought behind it is you know, fantasy football learning and earning. I spent 14 years in the educational technology field. I was hired originally for a company. It's called Kurzweil Educational. The gentleman who created the software, so text-to-speech software is what the crux of that software was. And the guy that created that text-to-speech, he invented text-to-speech. So your phones talk, you know, if you have documents that talk out loud, Ray Kurzweil invented that. And I was hired as Ray Kurzweil's assistant. Ray Kurzweil is a genius. He was on the original team at Xerox that created the Xerox copy, along with Steve Baum and Mark Dion. They being really smart people, and you know, Ray being the genius that he was, he intellectualized that. Well, his friend at the time, one of his best friends, is Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder used the Kurzweil keyboard. You can look those up. You know, the first to mimic musical instruments. And Ray just thought that, hey, if we can make a copy of this document, I should be able to make it speak out loud, because that's what geniuses do. They do stuff like that. You know, me, I would never figure that out. I'd be like, oh, cool, it's a copy of the document. I'll hang it on the wall. Right now, I'll read out loud to you if you want to, but. That's what Ray did. So they created software to speak that stuff out loud. The original machine was the size of a washing machine. It's in the Smithsonian Institute. You know, Kurzweil 1000 was the software. So it's for people who are, you know, blind, or so text-to-speech primarily at the time was for people who are blind. So blind computer users and or people who have low to no vision, right? So how does that correlate to fantasy football? Well, you know, there's, you know, Dominic Petrillo, who's a writer at The Athletic. he started and is part of, you know, a blind fantasy football league. You can look that up. They made a you know, small documentary about it over at Yahoo. And people just, you know, giving them access to something that they love in different ways, you know, using technology to be able to do that. Ray then took the K1000, the Kurzweil 1000 for blind computer users. So low or no vision, think of it this way, is people like you and I, we use a mouse. If you don't use a mouse or you can't use a mouse, you navigate with a keyboard, you're using something to, so something called JAWS, a screen reader. It's gonna just going to give you, you know, verbal output for every movement you make with your keyboard. And then the Kurzweil 3000 is for people with learning differences and everything from dyslexia to dyspraxia, is aphasia. You know, I'm using a lot of words that might not mean anything to people. So essentially, if you have difficulty either, you know, verbalizing or being able to, you know, write or be able to read properly without the use of some type of technology, this is the type of software that we had back then. So, you know, the first 7 years, you know, was essentially spent keeping Ray out of trouble or I was burning SDKs, so software development kits and packing. I was working on the loading dock. I was pretty much doing everything because we hadn't done $1 million by the time I got there when I first started working with Ray. Short note on Ray Kurzweil, look him up, please, Kurzweil. Incredibly interesting guy. He's the I call him, you know, he's not going to like this, but so the used to call him the godfather of text to speech. He's now the grandfather of text to speech because Ray is old. Now he's old. Ray being as smart as he is, he's got a really good sense of humor. I just want to get that out there. Ray's got a better sense of humor than people will ever give him credit to, because you see him, if anybody knows, like if you know the movie or the comic, Peabody and Sherman, if you remember, you know, like the dog who's the professor and the kid. Well, I was his Sherman to his Peabody, right? You could put it that way. Like the kid with no direction, just kind of following Ray around, just asking what he needs to do, and him teaching me about you know, how to be smarter we'll always I'd be grateful to him for that opportunity. So Kurzweil 3000 for people who have dyslexia. So you know, getting to more the point, the correlate between closer to what, you know, the technology and fantasy football is so many people will go to school and they're, you know, if they're not diagnosed with a learning difference, right, which many people are not, then they don't know they have one. And it also sometimes comes down to, unfortunately, the particular school district that they go to. It's like sometimes they do a good job of addressing it. And certainly some school districts do a much better job, and this includes colleges, much better job of addressing it than others do. We'll leave that point there just to not get too controversial there. But so many people have learning differences, you know, that they don't know. So they're not diagnosed, right? This is called learning modalities, right? So there are, you can argue what you want about them, but we'll use the VARC method, right? So visual, aural, read, write, and kinesthetic, right? So these four modalities to learn. So the way that we receive the information and get to the point of you know, learning what this is all about. So comprehension, that's the goal, right? So reading is not the goal, right? You can learn without reading. Case in point, blind people don't read books, right? They some of them use magnifiers against the low, but you know, they certainly learn and use are able to work and earn PhDs and whatnot with using screen readers, right? So the idea is comprehension. How do you get to comprehension? Well, many people who go undiagnosed with a learning difficulty, they just learn ways around it. That includes people with dyslexia who might not know they have it, right? Because they don't get diagnosed. Schools don't do a good job of that. So they learn ways around. So they start to, you know, maybe record the lesson, or maybe they, a way around this is, you know, maybe highlighting things in the book and whatnot. People, they don't think about, you know, why they're doing that stuff, right? So the idea I had was to take, you know, what I learned and what I know and be able to apply that to the fantasy football community, because many of them may not know that they have a particular learning difference and or are working around it, or I think, you know, to the content providers like yourself and or, you know, some many of the websites, I won't name them because it'd be unfair to leave some out, but, you know, many of the websites that we all love and the podcasts that we love and listen to or the articles that we read or whatnot, may not realize that some people who the content isn't accessible to certain members of the fantasy football community because of their learning differences that they may or may not know about. So they kind of turn you off. Well, if they're turning you off, that means they're also not subscribing to you. And you know, the content is wonderful, and there's a bunch of wonderful people in the industry that I've learned from and learn from constantly. But you know, if you want to make it more accessible to people, I think that's a really great idea for people. I'll share some ideas later on about how, you know, individuals may be able to approach the difference. Again, I could talk for hours about this stuff, but I'll give you some shorthand on how people might be able to address some of this. Now, just a word about, so comprehension, get to comprehension, and comprehension specifically about materials for fantasy football is most of us, most learners, and I'll give it some statistics in a second, is most learners are multimodal. Right, so I use multimodals all the time. Like, you know, I'll you know, increase the contrast on the screen, or I'll take, you know, I'll listen to a particular podcast. Like, there's some content providers where they start spitting out things like, you know, ADOT, or you know yard depth of target, and so anything like that. It's like, you lose me. I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't know why it's important. Right, so you know, I don't need to know those statistics to know that. You know, the guys who are higher up in the list, you know, that makes them good, you know, wide receivers. Well, I already know that Cooper Kupp is a good wide receiver, right? And I already know that. So you think about it that way. But why is that important? So for content providers, you know, if you summarize like this particular ADOT or, you know, yards per catch or that kind of thing, like that's important because of the following. Guys that are good at this are the following guys. And here's why that makes them important. Other guys who are low on that or have an opportunity. So that's why I love the air yards model from Herms. It's really, really, again, from my brain, that makes sense to me. I can understand that. This is why that's important. And there's the opportunity there is guys who are, you know, have currently, you know, high air yards, but haven't produced are guys that you may or may not want to jump on. Depends on you if you want to do that. I certainly do, but that makes sense to me. So again, going back to, if you're going to give a bunch of stuff and spit a bunch of numbers and things, summarize after why that might be important. That'll make your content. This is just one thing to the content providers, is that'll make your content more accessible to more people. And if they find that to be important, they may or may not. They may hopefully would subscribe to you as well, because that's making sense to their brains and the way their brains work. So, do you want to jump in there, or again, I could talk for hours about this stuff. So,
yeah, I think it's a great point. There's a lot of stuff that it's even, you know, for those of us that live in the weeds, it can get super hairy, right? Like acronyms and like the full disclosure that like. The analytics side and like the real deep statistics side is never my like forte anyway. Mm. So even I can kind of just get lost in the, in the kind of, I guess lost in the sauce, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great point to, I try my best, like whenever I can, to treat it like Twitter's great. Right. But not everybody lives on Twitter, and, there's plenty of people that play fantasy football or aspire to play fantasy football that don't, you know, live on Twitter 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So how do you make everything easy to consume for the people that, you know, aren't eating, living, breathing, like the same kind of circle of stuff that some of us or the rest of us are out there like constantly spouting the same stuff off of? Like, it seems short-sighted and a little unfair, I think, a lot of times. So but everybody can always do better with it too. Like I like to say fantasy football, like it's for everybody, right? Like it's a game. If you like football, or if you like fantasy football, like how do we let everybody play, or how do we let everybody be involved in it? And there's no reason to try and like cut people out of it or not make it as easy to digest or play as possible.
So a point on that is and it's not attacking, you know, the content providers, or certainly not attacking the individual players, but so there are strategies to use around, like, you know, so guys that are, like we mentioned before, we'll take that since we're on that subject, guys that, you know, are spitting real cool sounding statistics and are using graphs or whatnot, is like for like for myself that where I have, you know, difficult times. I don't know what that means. I don't know. I don't, and I'm not going to bother like learning about it. Well, you do. And I do. What I'll look for is an article, right? So a particular article. So if someone just has a podcast and they're doing all that stuff, then they can use a transcribing service to take, you know, the podcast, put it in a document form, and then maybe you can read that back, and it might make more sense to you. That's one strategy that you can use, right? So, you know, read write strategy, right? And when you're reading that stuff back, is maybe use a software such as the Kurzweil 3000 or a particular just at the Kurzweil 3000, just because I mentioned it before, but using software that'll highlight the words as it reads back to you on the screen, right? And so you can, a lot of them, you can change the color, which is another, there's a book that's, it's actually right there on my shelf, is people don't realize is that, you know, you're looking online and yeah, I'm using the software's still not working. Well, maybe it's the color combination of the background and the word that's being highlighted, right? That can really have a positive effect on dyslexic. So it causes you, so you're wearing the headphones, you're hearing it read to you back, right? And also you're following along as it reads to you out loud. You're seeing the words in front of you. That really helps to, you know, instill the learning about what you're reading. You can take, you know, the graphs and whatnot. When you see the graphs online if a content provider, for instance, you create a graph, there's often an option. So this goes into accessibility of websites. Which is an important aspect of a lot of this, making this content available, is for the graphics that you put online with regards to accessibility, you can use alternative text as to what this graphic is, right? So if you can provide a summary of what they're looking at, and this also goes into blind computers as well, is like, you know, some websites are just, they're nightmares for them to practice, because, you know, think about, so you have to use your tab, using Alt tab or Control tab, so Shift tab, is you're going through everything you see on the screen, like, you know, home, file, edit, like view, all that stuff. It reads all that stuff out loud. So it has to go through all that stuff to get down to the content. And when it gets down to the picture or the image, if the image doesn't have any alternative text to them, it's not going to read it out loud to them. It doesn't mean anything to them. Right? They might have the article in, you know, figure one below, and the file will say figure one. Well, it doesn't help them at all, because it might explain it to there, but on the figure itself, give like a short description of that stuff. And also as the user itself, a lot of those software packages will allow you to add that alternative text so that it'll read out loud that text for you as you hear it, you do that. So that's one thing that it can do. So, you know, a greater point being made is just because someone is presenting material in a way that you come across and somebody said, hey, this guy is great. And then you listen to it and you're like, well, I don't know what this guy's talking about. She's not great. So I'm not going to go back and listen to it. You know, two things there. Don't give up on them. Try and find a way around that material. And also to the content provider, make your materials available to as wide an audience as possible. You know, another strategy is, you know, videos on YouTube for podcasters is it turn on, if you have difficulty with, you know, just listening. So being an oral listener, being an oral user, is it turn on the CC, turn on closed captioning. Right. Simple. Right. It's right there in front of you. Turn it on. It'll give you the words that you can, and maybe that'll help you. So there's many strategies to be able to use, but some simple ones right there to be able to do that again, is getting to the comprehension of the material. And, you know, for me, I try and seek out, as part of my strategy, which we'll get into later, but is seek out, the opinions of, the experts that I don't agree with, as well as people that I enjoy listening to. Because I want to know why, you know, somebody says something about a particular player, like, how dare you say that? I love that. You think about that. I mean, we do it all the time. It's like, what are you talking about? And you want to turn it off. No, listen to it. Find out what their process is. Why are they thinking that? Are you missing something in your process? Are you missing something about that player? Where it's like, you know, a trade might come across from a particular player. It's like, I don't want that guy. Well, why not? Is it because somebody said something about it, or you know, did you do a deep enough dive on those guys, right? So, and again, so like players that we like and dislike later on, but make sure you're not just seeking out, you know, a confirmation bias, and try and get that get that rub. So I got there's a phrase that I use about fantasy football. Is that you know, most of what I enjoy about it, aside from the winning, is the effort it takes to solve the difficult and interesting, impossible puzzle that is fantasy football, whose solution can best be described as an ever-evolving statistical Aikido in a constant orbit around a planet that only exists in theoretical science. Right? How's that for confusion? Because some days, that's like, to me, it's just like, I don't know what's going on with it. Right? So there you go.
Yeah, I think to your point, like, it's a great point about not just seeking out confirmation bias and validation in your own opinion. I can't tell you how many times I've, you know, whether it's on a podcast or an article or something like that, and then you get a reply and somebody's like, I came here to roast you on this until I like read it through. And now I kind of see where you're coming from. And it's like, all right, that's all we're trying to do, right? Yeah. Provide a different look at something. Because if we all just agree, then we're all just in on the same players and there's no real competitive advantage to ever gain. Like
if we all agree, we're all making the same mistakes and nobody's going to win anything. Right?
Exactly. Like if we're all just wrong on a player, then okay, hand up. Sometimes it happens. But like talking about finding those players, like working through your process, well, how does your process work? Who are you looking for? Like, do you lean more on like the numbers, the analytics side of things, or what's your kind of go-to in making things happen on your roster? How do you go about it?
So I'm trying to, I saw that on the show sheet and I was like, you know, which direction should I go? I could use like a 3-word answer. I could just, but so I do is look at is, and I want to say this up front, and this is speaking from a dynasty perspective. With regards to this, regardless of what form you play, whether it's best ball or you prefer, you know, lineup setting. I'm terrible at lineup setting. I'll just let everyone know that I'm terrible at it. I'm awful at it. You know, I like dynasty because it, to me, it gives me the ability to trade, gives me the ability to draft, and then I can, you know, look at players and make a move for who I want and whatnot. But with regards to players, is don't think that just because you missed out on drafting a guy that you can never have that guy, right? Also, don't draft Justin Herbert his rookie year and trade him a week before the season starts for a second round pick the way I did. Don't do that. In a super flex, mind you, just to let you know, it was a terrible, terrible, terrible move. Right? It's like putting mayonnaise on a peanut butter sandwich. It's awful. So don't think that you can't have those guys. You know, if you really want a player, you can eventually either trade for that guy, or you might have to overpay. But if you really want a guy, you really think he's a good fit for your squad, you know, find the guys who are a good fit. You know, roster builds are often very important. You want to do. I like stacking, but I like stacking, you know, a guy or two, right? So tight end premium, you know. Lucky enough, again, you want a guy that you want to trade for. So I traded for. Just as an example, I traded Swift for Fields. This is in Superflex, and then I traded Fields and a first rounder and a second rounder for Lamar Jackson. And the point, what I wanted to do was to stack Jackson with Andrews, who I'd previously traded for in the off season. That was my goal, to be able to do that. Now, I'd love to have Rashad Bateman, but you know, knowing what that passing game is, I don't know what his particular outcome is. If I want him later on, then, and I really need him and I'm contending, I will absolutely try and trade for him. You know, the idea for me in Dynasty, which others have mentioned, so you know, standing on the shoulders of giants on this one, is dynasty doesn't mean that you're looking to have a player for 10 years. That's not what it means. Dynasty is you have a roster that you want to try and win. Let's say within the first 2 years. That's what my focus. I want to try and win. You know, I do have a roster, so I've got over a dozen. So it's right around a dozen. But I do have one roster that is just. I just love where it's like, it's a quote unquote a Devy roster where it's just, I'm probably never going to win. Like I'm never going to win, Right. You know, here's my big move for that roster was, you know, I was able to trade Ryan Tannehill for Derek Carr, which is a fair, again, it's in Superflex, but I was a trade, make that trade. And I was so happy because, oh, look, I have actually an actual quarterback. And the rest of the roster is literally, it's like just from this year alone, I had so many picks. I have Sky Moore and Khalil Shakir, who I think are both the same exact, player with the same exact, you know, opportunity, because one's got Mahomes and the other one's got Josh Allen. Right. I've got, you know, Alec Pierce. I've got, you know, Damian Pierce. I've got, you know, I've got Dobbins still on that roster, you know, waiting for him to do something. But it's like they're never going to win anything, because I just see like have these guys like if they hit, that would be really cool. But, you know, my focus is only, you know, trying to grab guys to try and win now that other, and again, other guys that mean like Tyler Boyd for me is a grab on a team that is quote unquote win now, as opposed to win in a couple of seasons. Cause you know, 100 targets for anything, people look at him as the number three, well, the number three in a pretty good, in a good offense like that, a real good offense like that is very valuable. And the other player, like if he's looking for a stack, hey, you want to stack this guy with so-and-so, try and make that happen to make that's trying to work that. So win-win on both sides are trying to make that, that there. Guys that I avoid, just kill me if you want to, come at me on Twitter if you want to, but guys who are like, you know, 5'8" and under, you know, like receivers that are like 160, 170 pounds, don't want anything to do with those guys. Like little running backs, you know, they're kind of cool. You know, like Boston Scott's cool, but only in a lot of people don't realize how tiny that dude is, but Boston Scott is cool in best ball. But it's not a guy I'm looking to trade for and want. It's just like the little guys, they don't seem to hold up. There are, you know, exceptions to the rule. But if you look at the, you know, over the, you know, the history of the NFL, you know, like the smaller guys, there's a smaller sample of guys who are great compared to, you know, guys who are quote unquote the, you know, the average size of what a running back or receiver or, you know, even quarterbacks and tight ends. What those guys are. There's a lot more guys who are in that general category than are like the little guys. Little guys are cool.
Yeah.
You know, little guys are fun, but to me, I tried like a Rondale Moore. I love Rondale Moore. I love the talent. I do. Rondale, I love you, but you're a little bitty guy who, and I don't think Kirk, Cliff is going to figure out how to use that guy who's ultra talented. He's super fast and he can do a whole lot of things, but you know, again, there. So again, like those guys, it's like they have, to me, it's the miss more than the hit with those guys. So I try and avoid those guys.
Yeah. I think that's, it's kind of like perfect timing. I jumped in on, somebody's Twitter spaces last night. Somebody had reached out and a group of people that, you know, kind of doing their first dynasty startup. Mm-hmm. And I kind of made that same point to them. I was like, look, don't get sucked into the trap of like, I'm going to have this player on my roster for 10 years. Right. Because in all likelihood, one of two things is going to happen. Number one, the league will not last that long. Number two, even if it does last that long, you will not roster that player for that long. Like it just, it does not happen. So 2 years for me is the window. Like it, I agree with you on that. Like realistically, can I compete this year or next year? And if not, let's make some moves to kind of address that. And yeah, I'm with you. I typically lean towards some size, especially at running back. I think at wide receiver, it started to shift like a little bit where the thresholds are maybe a little different. But I would jokingly said to somebody the other day, like starting to do some like early stuff on the 2023 class, it's like, oh, I need to constantly remind myself to not fall in love with too many small running backs this year.
Yeah.
Because like I love Deuce Vaughn at Kansas State, but small is not the word, right? Like and it's like outliers are fun, but I just don't want to make it a real habit of betting on outliers. Like, you know, if they're cost effective, then sure. Like an outlier can be tremendous, but I just don't want to make those early consistent bets on players that are outside the mold. And that's kind of the reason why, like, I know he got the draft capital, but I've been kind of out on Wandale Robinson, unless it's real cheap. I was kind of out on Tony last year. And you know, there's always exceptions to the rule, but I do agree that size matters in the NFL to some extent, especially with how wide open some of these college offenses are, especially at running back. Like I could buy in on a smaller wide receiver a little bit. Like I was very, very in on Elijah Moore last year. But at running back, it's like, God, it's such a brutal, violent game, especially in the pros, that you worry about these guys that are
5'8", 180 pounds. And the guys at college that are listed, you know, like just take 2 inches off, right? Like if they're listed 5'10", they're probably 5'8" or 5'9". And if they're listed 190, they're probably more like 180. I'm with you on that. The size thing does matter. As much as the NFL keeps trying to tell us that they don't care about size as much as they used to, I think the proof is kind of still in the pudding production wise.
Yeah, because the no problem if somebody wants, if people want to like roster, like, go ahead and do that. Like in the league, like guys are you know, they'll talk about, or leagues they'll talk about different players, like players of that size. It's just that and they may find some success. You know, they certainly, you know, making it to the NFL, making it to an NFL roster, it's a huge, huge accomplishment, right? So there's a reason why they're there. Maybe even if it's just for special teams, that's a huge accomplishment. And they may have, like, you know, big weeks and be a contributor, but without that profile, that profile that is more, you know, general, consistent with being successful in the NFL, you know, good luck figuring out when that's going to happen, right? So you're going to take up a roster spot, even in best ball with guys for that, waiting for them to go off and say, see, I was right. And you'll be right, you know, 1 out of 17 weeks or 2 out of 17 weeks or however long they're in the NFL. I'll leave that to, you know, have that be on someone else's roster and whatnot. I'm totally, totally fine with that.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Well, to wrap things up, why don't you give us, if you had to make, you know, a couple suggestions to people that are either new to Dynasty or still getting acclimated to the format, suggestions based on what you've learned, your experiences, how you like to play the game, what would you suggest to those newer players?
So don't Justin Herbert in his rookie season to trade him a week before the season starts for a second round pick. Stay away from that. Like stuff like that. Stay away from stuff like that. It's a really bad idea, just so you know. So with regards to Dynasty and like, you know, you're starting up getting into Dynasty, fall in love with players for sure. You can draft, you know, again, it's your team, do with it what you want, but you know, to be successful, think of it as a 2-year timeline, 3 years the most, right? Because don't forget, if you're not winning that first year and you're not winning that second year, that third year, that's 3 years of dues that you have paid to be in that league. And if you're not winning, you're not getting that return. Now, fun is fun. If you only got one league, cool, that's fine. But many of you won't, if you're starting in Dynasty, you won't have just one league.
I mean, oh, no. No,
right?
You won't.
So do your research. Find content providers that are both on both sides of things that you agree with and don't agree with, right? And find reasons why you like and why you dislike them. Find strategies for your learning type, learning modality, and apply them. You know, hit me up on Twitter. I'll be able to, you know, I can rip something off to you. Just you know, let you know that, hey, I found out this seems to speak to me, and you know, can you help me out with things like that, as content providers for Dynasty or not, you know, make your content as available to as many people as possible. That means more subscriptions, which of course means more scratch for you, more scuttle for you, which is kind of cool. You know, in Dynasty, don't worry about, you know, say, gee, I blew that draft. It doesn't really matter because draft capital is a big deal. And if somebody wants a player bad enough, they're either going to overpay for it or you'll be able to get a guy that you really want with regards to that. With regards to draft capital, don't seek to trade draft capital to get a single player for this year, unless you're in a position or you feel you're in a position to win this year. Then it's cool because, again, you're seeking a championship. You're not seeking to build the best team that looks cool, you know, long term. And you'll find out soon enough during the season, you know, where you're sitting at. Also, with regards to draft capital, teams that are in a position to win, and you may not be, they're going to be more wanting to give up draft capital for players that'll help them win. Keep an eye on that, because players that are in teams that are in a position to win, if they're offering you their first round pick next year, should they finish top three, that means you're at the 110, 111, 112. That doesn't carry as much capital as you might think it was, as just as a first round pick or a second round pick. Those are later picks, so keep that in mind as well. So that's a good lesson to keep in mind there. So I think that's a good spot to leave it for us.
Yeah, you want to find the person who is trying to make like the all-in push move that ends up missing the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like that's the person that you want to give you their picks mid-season. And that's something else we were talking about just yesterday. Like you really got to play the pick thing, like, you know, go and acquire them mid-season when people that are convincing themselves they can make the playoffs are a little more open to moving that capital instead of trying to get the best pick right beforehand, before the draft, when they're incredibly expensive.
So here's an idea that if you ever find yourself in a position where you're playing the guy who you can push out of the playoffs the next week, make a trade with him because you see that yourself say, well, I'm gonna kick this guy's butt so you can push him down the standings and trade for his first round pick. It's perfect. It's just such a, it's a great scenario.
I love it. This was a fantastic conversation, Ken. Ken Flott, he's at Ken Flott on Twitter, K-E-N-F-L-O-T-T. The article will be available at Fantasy Football for the People, and we will blast it all over the Twittersphere when it's available. But Ken, I appreciate you hopping on and chopping it up with me today.
Thanks, man. This is fantastic. I appreciate the opportunity. We'll talk soon. Thank you, Anthony.
For sure.
Thanks again to Ken for taking the time to join me, break down some of the stuff he's learned over his experiences, both in his professional career and in his fantasy football career as well. Again, you can drop him a follow at Ken Flott on Twitter. It was fun to talk something a little bit different on the show. So we have lots of great conversations, lots of great guests lined up over the next few weeks and months. So we'll keep rolling through them here. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Dynasty Drive. If you're not already, if you would consider subscribing to the podcast feed, make sure that you don't miss any of these new episodes, and we'll keep cranking them out. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks.